Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Strategies of Success. Today is going to be another one of those programs where you got to take a look at who you are and figure out where you're going to go. And sometimes we learn from things that we're successful at, just as much as we learn from those quote-unquote, I hate to use that word, failures, because the only failure, only true failure, is one that we don't learn from. So you should learn from everything. So you should, quote-unquote, never really fail in life. You just come with a less-than-desired outcome for that specific task, but you really learn from that. But we also learn from our successes. We also learn from those things that we're good at, and then we look at that and say, you know, what could I be doing better? Or what place could I be in where I would be better? Our guest today has done just that. She's had success in a variety of different places, and she's continued to change. And she's made one of these transitions that I find to be utterly fascinating. How do you go from the corporate world to the independent business owner world? Because the way you approach things in the corporate world, if you're successful, and again, she has been successful, if you're successful in the corporate world, can you really be successful in the independent, I have my own business world? And the answer to that is going to be yes. So who are we speaking to? We are speaking to a self-made entrepreneur who is a speaker, TV personality, sales strategist, and internationally best-selling author. She's a good friend of mine. She has seen success in amazingly different ways through the corporate life, through a franchise world, and also as an independent owner. She is Val Nabors. And Val, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and taking us through this transition to go from success in corporate to success as an independent business owner. I find to be utterly fascinating, because most folks, they're good corporate or they're good independent. To be good in everything, that's special. And again, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks, Brian. It's my pleasure.
So how does, you know, if you're a good employee, to me that means that you follow the rules, you pay attention to what's going on, you get those keys, the clues, the guidance from your, you know, the manager, owner of the company, depending upon how big that corporation is, but you tend to be a good follower, a good supporter. You are able to do that and then also continue to make that transition through. Is there a skill set, a way of approaching that you're able to just pull through the different facets of your business career?
Well, it's funny because I actually don't consider myself a good employee, and I've never considered myself a good employee. I think it's about, you know, just like we're titling this, you know, mastering the art of communication. It's having the ability to communicate your wants, your needs, your desires, you know, with your superior, with your peers, you know, with your team, anybody who might be working, you know, part of your team and under you. It's all about how you communicate your wants and needs. I mean, I've never been one to fit inside of the corporate mold or the corporate box. However, being in a sales role in a good majority of my corporate career, you don't really have to. You know, you're not working in an office wearing a suit and tie or, you know, suit and high heels and, you know, walking around like a robot. So there was a little bit more of autonomy, if you will, than if I was chained to a desk from, you know, 8:30 to 5:30 every single day. You know, the biggest thing I can say is, whether you're in sales for a company, you're in sales as an entrepreneur, you're in customer service in a corporation, everything comes down to communicate, how you communicate, and communicating effectively. Because at the end of the day, every single one of us goes into our day, a meeting, an appointment, a presentation with our own agenda, what we want to take away from that meeting. And if we aren't equipped to articulate what our needs are and lead our business partners, our employees, our managing team, our prospective clients, we aren't prepared to lead them down our path and get them on our side and to see things the way that we want them to see, that's where a lot of people struggle. You know, and that's where a lot of people fall short and they don't see the success. It's really not a magic formula. You know, I tell people that all the time when they say, well, how did you build a 7-figure business in 24 months? Well, I worked my rear end off. I mean, what do you mean, how did I do it?
you
know, you do the work every single day. You know, you learn how to communicate. You watch. I mean, gosh, I'm not that old. However, when I first got into business, you know, we didn't have YouTube. You know, YouTube didn't exist. We didn't have TED Talks or TEDx Talks. We had Dale Carnegie, you know, you go in person and do trainings. We had American Management Association. Again, you go in person and you do trainings. If you want to get good at something, just like Michael Jordan, just like Tiger Woods, you know, they wanted to be the top of the game in their sport. They worked at it every single day. It's the same thing with communication.
Yeah, it is. It's the constant pushing forward because I know on mine I do a good amount of public speaking. And once I take a break, you know, and don't, and that's a terrible way of phrasing it, but if I'm not continuously trying to improve upon it, I find I fall backwards a little bit to some of those issues that I was trying to get away from, the ums and ahs being one of them. So it is, you're right, it definitely is a constant improvement. You mentioned about, you know, the employee. So even as an employee, we do have our own agenda, but it's truly understanding that agenda, and it comes back to, it seems like that big communication issue has got to be with ourselves first also. So as an employee, you do need to know what your goals are, what your agenda is, and how that fits in with the company. But to understand what you're trying to accomplish as it fits in with everybody, so understanding that realm is first and foremost, knowing what your specific goals are.
Well, it is. And I'll give you, I mean, I don't mean to open Pandora's box with this next statement that I'm about to give. I just want to skim it because this is not the premise of our, you know, of our discussion today. But, you know, you hear so much about women, you know, women in the workplace. You know, I'll use this. This is the best example that I can give. Women in the workplace, you know, make 77 cents to the dollar. You know, females make 77 cents to the dollar of their male counterparts. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, why is that? Why can't women wait? You know, we should make the same amount of money. Yes, if you have two equal people who are performing at the same exact rate, it should not matter whether or not one is male or female. Here's the difference. Men as a whole are much better at communicating and asking for what they want. Females are not as good as at communicating and asking what they want. You know, there's a confidence, you know, between the men being able to say, hey, you know what, I'm going for this job interview, I want $120,000 a year. The female might go for the same exact job, and she might say, oh, I just want $80,000, you know, or they might offer her $80,000, and she says, okay. So she won't ask for that more money, even though she knows she's worth it and she can do it. So that's the best example that I can give. Like, in a corporate world, you know, as an employee, you know, you need to ask for things. Yes, you're going to hear no, and you're probably going to hear a heck of a lot more no's than you are yes. But as I say to, you know, my audience, and I say to, you know, when I go in and I do, you know, corporate trainings, you know, sales trainings, the answer will always be no if you don't ask. So as employees, We all have agendas. We all have agendas in everything we do, whether it's with our spouse or our domestic partner, or it's our children, or it's a business partner, or it's a prospect, or it's our manager, or it's, you know, one of our members of our team. We all have our own objective, which is okay. However, you also have to be able to give something. You know, it's a give and a take. It's not a take, take, take. It's a give and a take. You know, an example I can give from yesterday was I was in a meeting. I do some sales consulting for a company in title sales, and I was in a meeting, and one of the owners was talking about new guidelines and expectations of the sales team, and some I did not agree with. You know, myself personally as an entrepreneur, I did not agree with, and I spoke up in regards to one of them, and the owner said, you know what? You're right. You know, this is a give and take relationship, so I'm willing to take this one off the table if the sales team gives this. You know, so it's almost a little bit of negotiating with communicating. It's, you know, it's kind of all wrapped up into one.
Well, it is so important that, you know, as you mentioned, especially the give and take. You cannot just go and take from everybody. It doesn't work that way. You may get a sale, but you're not going to get the repeat sales. And this will hold true with virtually every scenario that's out there. Every negotiation that there is, even if it's with a child, a spouse, in the business environment, or friends, you know, negotiating as to what movie, you know, to go and see. You can't just go to the ones that you want to go to all the time. It is a matter of working with everybody. But that asking thing, you know, when you're asking for a certain level of income from a boss, or if you're asking for an order from a client, or a larger order than maybe you normally would, you know, from somebody, you do have to understand what's going through the other person's mind and what their needs are. So that communicating with them to find out what's going on is so important. So is there a suggestion you would have for people to how to, like, open that conversation? Open that? That's a good Pandora's box to open. Finding about...
Exactly. I mean,
yeah, their needs.
I look at everything we do as human beings involves selling, negotiating, or communicating, or all three at the same time, or a combination of two of the three at the same time. So I believe, in my experience and what I've seen, you know, in my own success and success with others that I've worked with, is you always have to ask more questions of your prospect. It should be you asking questions, you doing 20% of the talking, and them doing 80% of the talking. So, you know, we can't just automatically assume that somebody has a need for our product or our service today. They may not need it today. They might need it tomorrow. They might need it next week, next month, next year, 10 years down the road. It's about asking enough questions and the proper questions to extract, you know, what's going on in their head. Because, again, you know, everything we do is about communicating. I will say most people don't pay enough attention to the nonverbal communication, which is the body language, you know, again, which could be a whole other topic of conversation. So when you're asking questions, it's very important to also, you know, when you ask the question, you stop talking. You let the person answer, but right before they answer and as they're answering, notice, do they cross their arms? Do they cross their legs? Do they look away? Do they look down? Do they hold eye contact with you? Are they fidgeting with something, you know, a pen, a paper clip, you know, a notebook, whatever it might be? These are all clues that will help you become better in your communication, help you be able to craft better questions, you know. And this may seem elementary, and it, you know, to me it seems elementary. To other people, it's not so much. You know, we know that there are open-ended questions and closed-ended questions. And the closed-ended questions, which give you the yes or no, are needed. However, you're always better asking way more open-ended questions, because that's how you're going to get the information out of your potential client.
Yeah, I think you bring up a great point with the body language, because it's really important not to stop somebody from further answering that question and then taking the cue off the body language. Is the person done with their answer, or is the person thinking about what they're in addition going to say? And the only way you'll pick up on that is the body language. That's a great point. I thought you were going to say listening skills. It's actually watching skills.
Well, it's a balance of both, quite honestly. And, you know, I am an extroverted introvert, and introverts kind of have an icky label slapped on them. You know, we're antisocial, we're shy, you know, we're hermits, we don't know how to communicate effectively. And although that might hold true for some introverts, it also holds true for some extroverts. You know, there are a lot of extroverts that can't communicate effectively because they're all about, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And they don't give the courtesy of their prospect, their client, their, you know, wife, children, whoever it is in their life, they don't give them the courtesy to say, hey, no, wait a minute, it's not all about me. And again, not all extroverts are that way. But I think it's very important to know that, you know, introverts have that natural talent of observing. So walking into a meeting, walking into a presentation, walking into a networking, dare I even say networking meeting, which pains a lot of us.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to walk in and kind of size up the room, you know, get the lay of the land, read body language, look at who's standing, who else is standing by themselves versus who's the one that's in the center of a circle, you know, being very demonstrative and getting a lot of the attention. People can tell you so much about themselves.
But all that stuff is incredibly important.
It is.
What you bring up is incredibly important. Excuse me. You know, when you walk into a networking event, and I agree with you on some of them, but yeah, when you walk into a networking event, you really do want to pay attention to the body language immediately, because it may be the person standing by themselves. That's the easy conversation, but is that the conversation you want? Is that person who is the center of attention because he's completely taking over the conversation, or is he actually saying something that's interesting to listen to? So paying attention is a big thing. Yeah.
It's very important. And it's one a lot of people miss.
Right. You know, you bring up a good point with the speakers, especially, someone who loves to be a public speaker. They must be an extrovert. But you actually have to be very, very good at the introvert side of it. In other words, paying attention and listening to everybody else, even if they're sitting there completely silent. But for you to be an effective speaker, you have to be able to see that body language and what everybody's resonating with.
You absolutely do. You have to do. And the great thing for introverts in speaking is, you know, whether it's a 45-minute keynote or an hour and a half keynote, you know, for me as a speaker, I would much rather walk onto a stage in front of 3,000 people and deliver a 60-minute keynote speech than walk into a room at a networking event with 60 people for 30 minutes and have to make small chit-chat.
It's much easier.
Yeah, it's much easier to deliver, because we get on stage, we deliver our content, and we get off. You know, we're prepared, we're rehearsed, easy. You know, if I have to socialize and do networking afterwards for another, 45 minutes or an hour, that's when I'm like, oh no, let me just take 10 minutes to go do some quiet time to try and recharge my battery. But again,
it's very important for you to understand where your strengths are. We all have to understand what our agenda is. And it sounds selfish, but it's really not. Because if you understand what you're really good at, then you'll be able to utilize that in situations going forward. And maybe it makes sense if that's a part of what's going on, where you're sitting there, you're staying the rest of the afternoon, you know, for little workshops and stuff like that. Hey, you know, then you need to be prepared for that and prepared for it in advance. If you're out there and you really can't do that, then maybe that's the time for somebody, you know, to go and work in some sort of partnership, you know, where you're able to
find
the right person to complement those things you prefer not to do.
Exactly.
It is interesting. And so many times the public speakers get labeled, you know, as, oh, you know, all they want is for people to like you. You know, you just love being in the spotlight and all that stuff. It's not really true. I mean, yeah, you know, of course we all want that positive affirmation of whatever it is that we're doing. But certainly it's your business. You know, you certainly want people to like you, but that content, you know, what you're delivering, those actionable ideas, need to be a part of everything also. So when you're presenting, just going with you specifically, when you're presenting, is it all about the content that you're delivering? Is it a mixture of connecting with the audience through perhaps stories in order to convey the message?
Thank you for asking that question. You know, first let me start off and say I am not a PowerPoint fan. And if you look at the best, and I'm talking about the best, somebody like Tony Robbins, for example, you know, I will go to that big. He is not a PowerPoint person. The best speakers may use a few visual slides in a PowerPoint typically no more than 5 to 10 at most. So I am not a PowerPoint fan. First of all, it creates more work for me, and I just want to get up and deliver my message and educate people. Like, that's
okay.
It. Like, I want to serve people. I'm not a big PowerPoint fan to begin with. I used to be back in the corporate world when, you know, 45 slides, and I'd think, really? 45 slides?
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of clicking time, you know, flipping time. So typically what I found, and when I, you know, I ask other people, you know, who are speakers and even audience attendees, you know, what do you look for in a good speaker? I personally like someone who is engaging and entertaining. You know, I want a couple of strategic action taking, you know, items that I can do once they're done speaking and I get back in, you know, into my business. But for the most part, they have to be able to relate to me. And the way that we relate to each other as human beings is by being a really good storyteller. And I don't mean make up stories, you know, I'm not that way, like fairy tale storyteller. Stories about our life, stories about our experiences, you know, stories that we may have witnessed, you know, as an outsider, as it relates to, you know, whatever our topic is that we are discussing. I am not a 100% content-driven speaker. My message brings, you know, inspiration with content, with the storytelling. And that's, you know, for my audiences, or at least, you know, maybe not all of them, because, you know, as much as I'd like to say everybody loves me, I know the reality is that's not the case. I'm not everybody's cup
of tea.
Oh,
they do.
I know. Survey says, thank you.
Ask me. I'm 100% you know, of your audience right this second. I love you. Bam, you're 100%.
There you go.
Write that down.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
All right, folks,
here's a good takeaway.
If you're going to get a testimonial from somebody or a percentage, ask one person. You know you're going to get the right answer. And boom. You're good. It's 100%.
I love it. That's right. Can I put that on my speaker one sheet? Can I update my testimonial with you?
Yeah, that's it. 100% of the people love me. I asked one person at the time.
Well, I might leave off there was only one person in the room. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, so weaving in stories, you know, with content, you know, takeaways, you know, usually three takeaways at the end of or throughout the course of a speech is good. Most people can handle 5, but once you get to 7, 9, you know, and above, it's a little bit too much for most individuals to digest. And have some fun, you know. Listen, I mean, you know, most of us who are speaking, you know, we didn't wake up one day and say, "Yippee, I want to be a speaker and stand up on stage in front of thousands of people." That's not typically how it happens. It usually evolves. And, you know, I'm sure this is the way for you, Brian, and I know it's the way for myself and a lot of, you know, our fellow counterparts that are out there as speakers. We speak because we know we have a message to educate our audience with. And if we can share what it is that we've gone through, we've experienced, we've witnessed, my work, which doesn't really even seem like work, is done.
Yeah. There was one presentation I went to, and he started off with this comment. He said, what you should do, and it's a business meeting, pure business meeting, in one of those kind of boring kind of industries. He said, you should retire today. And he just let it sit out there. You should retire today. And I'm like, okay, this is a great business meeting. Like, we're all going to quit and go play golf. But what message was, and this is, I don't remember the rest of the content. I remember this. All right. And the message was is that you should be doing what you love today. And there has to be a reason for it. You can't just go fishing for the rest of your life. But you have found that. You are doing what you love today. So it is not, quote, unquote, work. But it is a matter of, you know, it's enjoyable. It's great getting on stage. And as you said, you know, you're delivering that message. And that message resonates with you through the proper stories. It resonates with the audience. So those stories, you know, we could talk content all we want. But it's that takeaway. Mm-hmm. It's what people remember from your speech. And more importantly, it's what people act on. That's the key. What people act on from your presentation. So the stories, from my perspective, is probably the most important thing, because that's what people will take with them, hopefully for the rest of their lives.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. It's all about being relatable.
Yeah. And I know for me, the idea of why to get on stage in front of an audience, whether it's, you know, through this program or a couple of other things, you know, it's because that my personal growth has come a lot from this. And I know with other people, that's going to be the case with them too. And that's why it was so important for us to discuss this, mastering the art of communications. And there's a number of different ways about going to do that. But that is the greatest way to help you grow and help you promote your business, whatever it is. And it's not a public speaking business for everybody, nor should it be. Yeah. It's whatever their personal business is. And that really becomes so important. So when, and we just have a couple of minutes left, a little under 5 minutes. So when someone says to you, you know, why should I master the art of communication? What would you tell them? And remember, we have a little less than 5 minutes, so this is no 90-minute keynotes on this one. But
exactly. Well, the first thing I would say to them is
why is it so important for us to discuss this?
Yeah. The first thing I would say is, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you master, you know, the art of communication, you know, as it relates to your business? Again, if we can't properly articulate what we want, what we need, and be able to ask individuals that we come in contact with, you know, prospects, clients, whatever they are, we don't have a good ability of pulling out the data from them. Last time I checked, you know, none of us are mind readers. I think a lot of us think we are, but we're really not. And, you know, assuming things will always get you in trouble. So in business, being able to better grasp what your prospect or your client's needs, wants, pain points are, and being able to effectively communicate questioning with them, and then effectively communicate how you can solve some of these pain points, you know, and these problems they have, it's how you do business. It's how you grow your business. You know, it's like being able to communicate effectively with your employees. I used to tell all of my employees when I would, you know, during interviews, I will never fire you. And they would look at me and they'd say, what? I said, I'll never fire you. Because my job is to be able to effectively communicate with you, provide you with the tools, the resources, and trainings to go out and do your job. Therefore, the only person who can fire you is you, because I've given you everything, and I will continue to give you everything. It's that you can use that same analogy in any aspect of life, you know, or business. So, what's it costing you by not effectively communicating with your clients and your prospects and your team? What's
a huge
it costing
opportunity.
You with employee, yeah, with employee liability or employee loyalty, you know, client loyalty.
Yeah, it's so important to understand that whole thing. Being able to communicate, and a number of points you brought out there, being able to communicate has a lot to do with a lot more than just being able to speak. There's quite a few different aspects that go along with it. Now, Val, you do a lot of speaking. The organizations that you tend to be in front of, that you're looking for, and how can people get in touch with you?
So people can get in touch with me. My website is in the process of going through a rebrand, but they can still go out there and send me a message through there, which is valneighbors.com. And I really have two different audiences that I speak to. One is the, you know, business world. So sales teams, customer service teams within organizations, you know, Coke, Pepsi, a couple of small ones, Wawa, which is, you know, local to the Northeast. And also I do a lot with women's groups and women entrepreneurial groups. So I have kind of two different – I actually have two different speaker one sheets depending on who my audience is, and my talent agency, my talent management agency, when they see opportunities, they present me for, you know, whichever one they think is best suited for me.
Perfect. It's all great. Hey, Val, I really want to thank you so much for joining us today. You know, as your presentations go, as what we try to do all the time is those takeaway ideas. And, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to spend some time with us.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. I loved this.
Great. I'm going to quote you on that. That'll be my testimonial. So you get 100% success on your audience, and I love doing this.
Go for it.
Oh, absolutely. All right, folks, as always, it's so important when you are speaking, when you are at a client meeting, when you are doing anything, you know, to have those actionable ideas meshed in over there. This way you could take them with you or have somebody else take them with them, and perhaps they can implement at least one of the three as they go through their day. So what is our three takeaway ideas from this one? One is that 80-20 rule. Let them do 80% of the speaking. It is absolutely true in anything you do, and that's business, family, friends, whatever it is. The other one, I was going to think Val was going to mention listening skills, but it's actually watching skills, watching the body language. You don't want to cut somebody off from further answering a question. They may give you a short response just to answer the question, but if they're leaning forward, if they look like they're going to say something else, don't cut them off. Let them continue answering the question and keep on listening. And the other one, find that balance between the introvert-extrovert inside of you. It's fine to be liked. It's great when people give you those positive affirmations. But pull in and pay attention to that introverted side of you, the one that just watches what's going on. You learn a lot more by watching, as the mention was on a networking event. Take a look and size up the audience. See what's going on. See who's leading conversations. See who's listening to conversations. See who it is that you want to approach, because you do have an agenda. You do have a goal. Understand that goal and have that conversation with yourself first before you do anything. You've been listening to Strategies of Success. Our guest today was Val Nabors. And my name is Brian Cohen, and this is Strategies of Success. Find those three actionable ideas, put them to use, and if you want to be a great leader, give somebody else some ideas to act on. Have a wonderful week.